A lot of things about the book of Ephesians. I've heard people preach this book and say all kinds of wild things about it. But you know, I think the word ought to speak for itself, and by the Spirit, I think if we listen, we'll hear what God's real intent of this book is. It's not about what all the things that people said, these are books that's supposed to teach leadership and all that. Why? If it don't teach leadership, it's not going to teach anybody, is it? Okay. The leadership's not taught, how's anybody else going to get taught in it? But this word Ephesians, does anybody know what it means? You started to say it. Say it. Permitted, okay? Permitted. So what do you think he's talking about? And I'm just getting started here before I read it. I'm already cranked if you didn't know it. Ephesians is permitted. And in Hebrews he says this, if God permit, we'll go on. We'll go beyond these elementary principles, if God permits. So this is a book that's written really to the mature, to the ones that are called the first fruit, the ones in the Feast of Tabernacles, all these different things, say the ones on Mount Zion, the 144,000, you know, all these things you can say, but saying the same thing, to the ones that God has permitted to understand. Does that make sense? Yeah, there we go, to the book of Revelation again. To those that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Said 8 times in the book of Revelation. What does that mean? The day of beginnings. When I begin to hear, there's my new beginning. Okay, let me read this chapter, short chapter, 23 verses. Chapter 1 of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption as children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put things under His feet and gave Him to be the head of all things to the church, that is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Man, there's a bunch of stuff here. Oh, it's powerful. Let's go back to the first verse. Paul, what does it mean? See, Well, the apostle is the special messenger, but Paul means small or little, okay? And he's that special messenger with a, he's sent on a mission by God, okay? This apostle. He's a messenger sent forth with orders to do something. But first of all, why is the name Paul significant here? Not just that he wrote the book, but the significance of his name meaning small or little. See, to be in a place where we grow in God, where do we have to be? Walk in humility, which is a place of smallness in our own minds. I know what God has in me, but in me, the flesh man, I see nothing. It's just a shell that I'm walking around in. It's not important to me anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have to be in that place of being small in our own understanding. Remember what Paul said back in one of the other writings in Galatians? He said there are some who thought they were to be somebody. They thought themselves to be somebody. He said, but to me, they're nothing. They added nothing to me in conference. See? So they really had nothing to talk about, did they? That tells me they were people who really did not truly know the Word of God. So they were just talking small talk. Okay? So we have to realize we have to be small here in our understanding of ourselves, not in the Christ in us, but in the flesh. But see, Paul, being small, was an apostle, and he was sent out with orders of Jesus Christ. He's the apostle of Jesus Christ through the choice, not the will, but through the choice of God. See, God chose Paul, didn't he? It was through his choice. He was predestined. And he said, by the choice of God to the saints which are in Ephesus. So he sent Paul to a group of people who are what? Permitted. Hebrews 6 and 3 says this. We will go on beyond these elementary principles if God what? Permit. See? So is it by our choice that we go beyond where we're at? See? If I think that I'm in control of anything in this life, I've deceived myself. Because if God permit, I'll go beyond this point. Where I stand this day with God, if I never go beyond it, it's because God doesn't want me beyond it. And if God wants me beyond the point I'm standing today, there's no way I can stay where I'm at. If we can resolve that in our mind, it's a lot easier to go on. Because I won't condemn myself because I don't get up and start reading the Bible at 4 o'clock in the morning and praying for 2 hours a day on my knees with a time, with a clock, alarm clock set beside of me. Which people do those silly things. You hear what I'm saying? You won't have condemnation because you'll know you'll be doing what God wants you to do. And if God has nothing for me to do today, guess what I can do? Whatever I please to do today, see? But if God has something for me to do, then I'll be right there to do it. See, that gives you peace in your life. You don't feel condemnation because you're not meeting all the religious criteria that everyone has placed on you in the religious system. Okay? And he said, at Ephesus, and they're faithful in Christ Jesus. Now notice the only place that they're faithful. Where are they faithful at? In Christ. They're not faithful in the flesh, they're faithful in Christ. And then he comes back in the next verse and says, grace to you. The word be isn't there. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He's God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, he said grace to you. What does the word grace mean? That divine influence in your heart and then a reflection of it out in your lifestyle. Paul's not saying, well, grace to you so you can go out and do anything you want to do and God don't care. That ain't what he's saying. Grace. He's saying, I'm praying that God will give you a divine influence in your life, in your heart. And when it's in there, it will reflect out into your lifestyle so other people can see what I'm doing in you. Because that's the purpose, that they see Christ in you, not just in one person. Okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In the spirit realm. In the spirit, see? He blessed us in the spirit. And the church world has taken this and tried to make it into earthly, physical, natural things. Not important. Excuse me, he already provided those things. Read Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay, forget about that. He already took care of it, didn't he? The only thing I'm interested in now is the spiritual understanding so I can grow into the maturity of the son that I am to be. If I have to worry about my food and what I'm going to eat today and tomorrow, I haven't got time to fool with God. It's going to be taken care of. I don't know how. I'm not telling you all just to lay around like a bunch of couch potatoes or leeches laying around somewhere and do nothing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I just got to do what I got to do, and I'm not worried about what's going to happen. Because I'm not in control. God is in control. If he's not, we're all in bad shape. We're all in bad shape if he's not in control. So he's got it in control, and he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. See? Did that say physical things? He blessed us with spiritual blessings, all of them. The book says he poured out his spirit upon his sons without measure. He's already given us all the things we need, but where are they at? See? They're in my spirit. And if I don't tap into my spirit, how am I possibly going to reap those benefits? Can I? If I don't tap into my spirit, I can't get those benefits he placed in there. You see what I'm saying? And the only way I can get into my spirit is by being in the spirit, being spiritual. And that word being, when I say spiritual, it says non-carnal. See? So I can't be carnal and have the spiritual understanding, can I? Kind of like an oxymoron. And it says, verse 4, just as he has chosen us in him, not before, but prior to the foundation or the conception of the age, okay, or the cosmos. So he says, just as he has chosen us prior to the conception of the cosmos. Conception of the cosmos. Boy, what does that say? See, conception. Everybody says before the foundation of the world. The word conception is what the language uses. So the world was conceived, and the word cosmos there means, for world, is cosmos, and it means orderly arrangement in the mind of who? In the mind of humanity. So before this worldly thinking came about, there was already another arrangement called the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden. And then this tree got planted by humanity called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And all of a sudden we've superseded what God wanted to do by our own thinking. Something's wrong with this picture. That tree shouldn't be there. And in the Gospels, Jesus laid an axe by the root of that tree, didn't he? He didn't put it in the root. He laid it there. And it's your place to pick it up and take the axe and chop it off. See? You can chop that tree down in your own mind. Because he gave you the hands to do it. Okay? So in the orderly arrangement that we should be holy, not holy, but we should be blameless and unblemished directly in front of him. So it means when we stand before God, now that don't mean like he's sitting on a big throne as an old gray-haired or white-haired man sitting on this big ivory throne or something. That's not what we're talking about. God is in the center of you. We understand that. So when I stand before him, I'm standing before him every minute of every day of my life. But when I stand before God, it's not something that's going to take place in the future. It's a present tense reality right now. We're all standing before God in our lives. And when I stand before God, God sees me as unblemished and what? What does the word say there? That we should be blameless and unblemished. Right? Remember this little paper I got over here? About 40 things that God says you are. We're sons of God. We're born again. We're unblameable, unreprovable, righteous, justified, joint heirs. We're accepted. We're holy. We're sanctified. We're predestined. We're reconciled. We're forgiven, redeemed, called, chosen, bought with a price, and on and on and on. Those are the things that God says about us. When I stand before God every day, you know how I stand before God? Holy, unblemished, unblameable, irreprovable. And that's the way you should stand. I don't care if I make a mistake. The mistake was paid for before the conception of this cosmos. Before Adam ever made a mistake, the lamb was slain before the conception of this world. That's what this book tells me. I believe it. He paid a price because he knew we was going to screw it up. And he paid the price ahead of time. That was the earnest of our inheritance. It was paid ahead of time. So I don't have to stand here in condemnation and guilt if I make a mistake. Because he died. And it says that, Bob, he died for the sins of who? The whole world. It was the Greek word pos. All. He died for all the sins of the world. You know what? Mine's no different from yours. It's part of the world, isn't it? See, so that's how I can stand because I know what he did. I'm not looking at the fact of what I do, but it's what he did. Can you understand that? It's not got anything to do with what you do today. It's what he did thousands of years ago before the conception of this world. See, he did it. I'm clear. Do you understand what I'm saying? He did it. You're clear. Does that mean what you can do anything you want to? No, heavens no. No, heavens no. I never said that. I'm telling you, God does not condemn you. People do. Verse 5. Having predetermined us into, the word is ice, into the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Through Christ he adopted us to himself. That's the Father speaking. According to the satisfaction of his will. The good pleasure there is the satisfaction of his choice. What part did you play in that one? He did it according to the satisfaction of his choice. He chose it and he was satisfied in it. It had nothing to do with what we do. It was what he did. When he finished making everybody in the last verse in Genesis chapter 1, what did he say? He looked at what he created and said, it's very good. See? So I believe what God said. I don't believe in bad people. I believe in bad thinking processes. Okay, verse 5. 6. To the praise of his glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. See, the Father has taken and chose us, and to the praise of the glory of His grace. You ought to get up every morning and just be so thankful for God's grace that He's influenced your heart to change the way you think and see everything. And He's made us accepted in Christ, in the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? It's Christ. He made us accepted through what Jesus did. Does that make sense to you? What Jesus did, not 2,000 years ago, but before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain, according to the Scriptures, according to the Bible, right? Okay, when did He make us accepted? Before the foundation of the world. He made us accepted. He knew He was going to make it, regardless whether you think you're going to make it or not. He already had it figured out. It wasn't some afterthought to bring His Son down here and give him in some kind of a sacrifice. That wasn't what it was about. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. The word redemption is a pardon or a freedom through his blood, through what he sacrificed. The forgiveness, and the word forgiveness here is a pardon, let me say it back again. In whom we have redemption, that's the liberty procured by the payment of the ransom. We have a liberty procured by the payment of the ransom. Does that make sense? A little better than what I said there before I got missed something. The redemption is the liberty that we procure by the payment of the ransom through his blood. Didn't he say he bought you with a price? That makes sense? Okay. The forgiveness, or literally the pardon or freedom of sin according to the riches of his grace. Now the word sin here is not hartomeia, what most people think is sin, but it's translated that way. It means to miss the mark. But literally this is the word paratoma, which means an unintentional error or a willful transgression. What would that cover? All of them. Whether you meant to or not, he's got you covered, see? We got to understand those things. according to the abundance, not the riches, but the abundance of His grace. Now, you know, if God doesn't give you the ability, if He doesn't put that grace in your heart and reflect it out into your lifestyle, it's not your fault. Whose responsibility is this? Is it Lloyd's responsibility to take care of those children? Is it Ben and Joseph and Jesse's responsibility to take care of themselves? See, Father has to raise you to a point. Same way in the Spirit, God is responsible to bring us to birth and to bring us to maturity where we can feed ourselves. You gotta eat the food He gives you, don't you? If you don't eat the food, how are you ever going to grow to the maturity? See, we got to see the pattern. Okay? Verse 8. Wherein He has abounded into us in all wisdom. Wait a minute. He is what? He has abounded into, not toward, into, the word ice, us in all wisdom and what? Understanding. What do you have within you? Again, we're talking to the ones He's permitted now, right, to go on. Okay? So, He's given unto us all wisdom and understanding. Well, then why do you think people say, well, how do you understand that? He gave it to me. God gave it to me. When I sat under a man years ago, he said this, you always give honor to the man who raised you up. I said, okay, Christ. No. That's me. I'm your pastor. No, you give honor and glory to your Father who has raised up everything in you. It's not the man. See? Didn't he say he did not share his glory with another? Well, guess what? The other man is you. I'm not talking about your spirit. I'm talking about your natural man. He don't share it with Adam, but he shares it with himself, which is the Christ in you. Okay? Where am I at? Oh, 9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will or His choice or purpose. He made known to us the mystery of His choice. Hello. It's no secret thing any longer. He said He's made it known. His choice. You know what His choice was? Grab your seat. You. The ones that hear was the mystery of His choice. It's no longer a mystery to me when I can hear what His purpose is. Do you hear me? He has permitted you now to know the mystery of His will. No longer a mystery. Nothing woo-woo ethereal out there in the stars somewhere. This is reality in your life, isn't it? Absolute reality in your life. He's made known to us the mystery of His choice or purpose according to His satisfaction, which He has exhibited in Himself. Just a reflection. See, His satisfaction was exhibited in Himself. He exhibited it in Himself, that reflection of Christ. Woo! Hang on, it's a ride. Verse 10. In the, not dispensation, that's not a period of time, it's in the administration of the completing of time, in the administrating of the completing of time, He, what? Condensed, not might gather together, He condensed all things in Christ. Oh God, hear that. He said, in the administration of the completing of time, He condensed all in Christ. Wow. All in Christ. The ones in heaven and the ones on earth in Him. Now tell me, who in God's name does that leave out? Oh God, how could you'd have to hire somebody, a whole legal professional team, to help you misunderstand that. Jeez, Pete. That's who they hire. They hire the mind. They hire Adam to help them. See, misunderstand? You can say, he's saying earthly and spirit, you know, spiritual and earthly, both are condensed into Christ, right? That goes back to Genesis 1:3. He made, in the beginning, in the first fruit, God created heaven and earth, the perfect, literally, God-man. Okay? And in 2 and 7, it shows there were two things. There was a flesh body made, and he put the spirit into it. They were all taken care of. They were all covered. Now we get to verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or predetermined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now we have to back up and look at a lot of things in this verse. We were predetermined according to what? To the showbread. The word here for this is prosthesis. It's showbread. Okay? And now we have to go back again like we talked earlier. The showbread was 12 loaves of bread, which was meant to be set out. And when you walked in, guess what the first thing you do when you walk in there? You'd see it. You know what else you do? You'd smell it. Because they put every day had fresh baked bread. Go a long ways in that one. Fresh baked every day. I love to smell fresh baked bread. I love it. Yeah, like to smell it, and that makes me want to eat it. Okay? So these 12 loaves, which is the showbread, were an example of first fruit. And what's this book of Ephesians written to? First fruit. The first fruit, the ones that are permitted to hear, the ones who have ears to hear. If God permit, we'll go on, won't he? These are the ones God's permitted to go beyond, okay? According to his purpose, this showbread of him who activates all things according to the choice, according to the purpose of his own choice. Does this sound like somebody is saying, hey, would all you churches get together and create this large council and decide what I should do? God does what he wants to do, and he doesn't ask a bunch of churches to get together and have this big council so we can figure out what I'm supposed to do. No more deacons, sneaking deacons, or anything else. We don't need them. See, all we need is Christ in you. And if you will attain to that perfection that he has called you to be, you don't need somebody to show you how to live your life. All you need is a relationship with your Father. That's all you need. You need a relationship with your Father. Yep. Very mature. Verse 12. That we should not be, but we should exist the praise. We should exist praise of the praise of his glory. We should exist the praise of his glory. Literally, exist to praise his glory. How's that? We should exist to praise him. There's a scripture that says he created us to worship him, right? To praise him. And that's what we should be. We should be here to praise his glory. The ones who trusted in Christ, who first trusted in Christ. Again, who is that? Who is that, the first ones who trusted in Christ? First fruit again. In whom you also, the word trusted isn't there. In whom also after, see that makes it sound like two different groups of people. It wasn't. It's the same group of people. In whom you also after you heard the Logos of truth, the word of truth, the Logos, the spiritual truth, the gospel of your deliverance, in whom also having believed, not after that you believe, but having believed, you were sealed with what? With the Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Anybody know what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4? Let me show you. Let me read it to you. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, He said, after being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high. See? Now you know what I hear in that? Go ahead and go to church when you're a baby. But you sit there and wait on me. You go ahead and go through it to pass over your Pentecostal realm. You go ahead and experience them things. And when the time comes, I'll endue you with power from on high. And it's not about somebody laying hands on you and giving you the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's in your life from the day you're conceived. I'll call you from the farthest corners of the earth because it's in you. It always has been in you. It always will be in you. It's not about your works. It's about what God has done. It's His work. I'm going to get excited here in a minute. Hang with me. Which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of His glory. Now, what have you ever heard about this word earnest? Everybody says it's a down payment. That's a lie. It's not a down payment. If you go make a down payment at buying a car, what do they call it? Down payment. Earnest money is, guess what that is? Earnest money is something that you put up front to guarantee you'll come back and get the rest of it. See? If Bob had something to sell me, I'd come over and say, here's some earnest money. It's different. And this money I give you is a guarantee that I'm going to come back and get the product that you sold me. Right? It's not a down payment. It's not a down payment. It's only a guarantee. Earnest money is a guarantee in advance as a security for the rest of the money. That's what it really is. So God gave us the Spirit only as a promise that He would come back and get the rest of the product. Okay? And we are the first fruit. Guess what He's guaranteeing? Reconciliation. Reconciliation of all creation. And this is which is the earnest of our inheritance, not until, but toward, it's the earnest, it's the money put up front, toward the total deliverance of the purchased possession, right? Now, 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, what's it say? Know ye not that you're the tabernacle of the living God? Well, if I'm His tabernacle, how did He get me? Didn't He purchase me with His blood? And He gave me, first of all, the earnest money, which was the Spirit of God. But when did He give me that earnest money? So everybody said, well, He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. No, he died the lamb slain before the foundation. He gave earnest before He ever died on the cross and purchased me. He gave earnest, didn't He? And that was the Spirit of God that He put in us in Genesis 2:7. There's the picture that God wants you to see. From the very beginning, He's never left you out. That's religion that's done all that stuff. Okay? Oh, gosh. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. And you can read it in 1 Corinthians 7, 23. Both of them talk about us being the dwelling place of God, okay? Verse 15. Wherefore I also have heard concerning your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints. Well, that's a good thing to say about you. He said, I've heard this about you. Well, you know why he could say that? Because if you're permitted, guess where you are? You have a love for all the saints. And you have a love toward Christ, don't you? You're like spirit with Him. He said, since I heard all this, he said, I cease not to what? Literally express gratitude regarding you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he's thanking God for the brothers and sisters that he has in Christ that are just like him. See, Paul never saw himself superior when he come to minister to them. He just said, I have a responsibility. I have a place in my life that God has called me to be. He set me there, and I'm doing that, but I'm just your brother. Hello? See, Jesus said the same thing. I'm just your older brother. Don't worship me. And that way he said in the book of Revelation, don't worship me, worship God. See? The one that sent me is the one you worship, not me. See, that's what you have to understand. Too many people, when they began to understand something of this scripture, elevate themselves to a place of or a position of pride and arrogance. There's no place. Because as soon as you elevate yourself to a place of or a position of pride and arrogance, what will happen is your revelation of the word will all of a sudden turn from spiritual to intellectual. And you will begin to teach out of intellect where most ministers minister from. Out of intellect, because it's a gain physically for them. If I can tell you something you don't know, you'll give me money. And that's what it all boils down to. It's money. And when we start that thing with arrogance and pride, it'll all go back. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not the money, it's the love of it. And that's why they're doing what they're doing, for the money. Okay, I'm in 17, is that right? In order that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, so he said, I'm making mention of you all the time, I'm expressing my gratitude, in order that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, see, he's asking that God will go ahead and give to you the same thing he's got. That's my heart's cry. That's what I'm doing, that you can have what I have. We're not talking about physical things, we're talking about spiritual things. He says, give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the what? Not knowledge, but the acknowledgement of him. Give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledgement of who he is and what he's done. In the fullness of who he is and what he's done. Man, when you begin to get a revelation of who God is and what he has done, whoo! There's the acknowledgement. When you acknowledge what he has done, and when you believe it in your heart, see, you don't have to say a word to anybody. Believe me. God is weighs the thoughts and the intents of the what? Didn't say he didn't weigh your act. He didn't say he weighed your actions. He said he weighs the thoughts and intents of your heart. When your heart opens up and says, my God, don't you think he hears it? He's right there in the midst of your heart. What do you think? When you begin to see and acknowledge who he is, don't you know he's the one opening the door? That's it. It's just a total awe of him whenever you see these things. And then verse 18. The eyes of your what? You know what that word understanding is? Cardia. Greek word, cardia, heart. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. Hello. See, it's not the understanding. It's the center of your heart. It's the eyes of your heart. And the eye speaks of the very center, doesn't it? And you know your heart, the little blood pump in your chest, doesn't have any eyeballs in it, does it? So guess what? It's talking spiritual things. It's the very center of your under your heart or your very being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope or the expectation of his calling, and that what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. So you can know what the glory of his inheritance is. Oh my. See, we're not looking for a present. We only need revealed what God has already planted in our hearts. All we need is a revelation and an acknowledgement of him in the work that he's done. And guess what? It's already here. All you need to do is, just like on your birthday, unwrap the package. It's that simple. And see, when you unwrap the package, that is your birthday, isn't it? When you truly unwrap the package of him, when you take all this flesh of you off, unwrap it all. Kind of like the unveiling, the apocalypse, the revelation. When you unveil this package, that's your birthday. See, that's what it's all about. Oh, God. Help us, Lord, to understand what you're saying to us. And he said that what is the expectation of his calling, what's expected of you, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Oh my, what it really is. You got to see it yourself. See, I can't tell that to you. You got to see it yourself. You got to work it out with your own deliverance, right? Verse 19. And what is the surpassing magnitude of His power toward us? The ones who believe according to the energy of His mighty power. See, I believe according to what? The energy that He has placed within me. The power and the energy that He placed. That's all I can believe. I can only believe by what He gives me. The just shall live by what? His faith. Habakkuk 2:4. See, not my faith. I can have faith that we're all here every day. Would that be true? See, that's my faith. But if I have faith in what God says, it's true whether I see it with my eyeballs or not. It has no bearing on it, does it? All I have to realize is what He said is truth. It's not a temporal truth. It's an eternal truth. I can say, this room has X number of people in it. And it could be a truth, couldn't it? But it's a temporal truth. Because in an hour from now, where's everybody going to be? Someplace else. Oh, that was just a temporal truth. But when God speaks something, it never changes. I heard someone just recently preach that God changed His mind several places in Scripture. Well, the Scripture says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13, what does He say? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He never changed. It's only the way we think changed. It wasn't Him. If God changed something, He wouldn't be God. Okay? Verse 20. Which He did what? That English word, wrought. See? That's King James 16th century stuff. Literally the language says, which He activated in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in, not heavenly places, in the heavens. Okay? In heaven. Okay? In the heavens. So He activated this power in Christ when? When He raised Him up from the dead. Now, see, Jesus, it says the Lamb was slain before the foundation, but it doesn't say anything about Him being resurrected before the foundation, does it? He was raised, he was slain before the foundation, but He wasn't resurrected until 2,000 years ago, was He? There's the key. So He was slain back then. He was raised now. And He said He activated it when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him in the heavens with Himself at His own right hand. Guess what? There's hope. Now we ain't got nothing to worry about because now the power has been activated. I don't have to worry. Will it start? It's already been activated from the time that He was seated in heavenly places. When He was raised from that grave, that tomb, 2,000 years ago, the power was activated, which had been implanted in us all along. Always been here. And that lie of religion is, if you get saved, maybe you'll make it to heaven. That's a lie. There's no place this book says you want to go to heaven. It says you want to be seated in the heavens. It's right now in us, in Christ. We are the heavens. He's seated in us. Okay? Oh, gosh. Far above, verse 21, all principality or all rules and regulations and all power and all authority and dominion and every what? Every nature or character. Anoma is the word for name. It's a nature and a character. Above every nature or character that is mentioned, not only in this age, but also in that one which is to come. That Christ is reigning in all ages, throughout the ages. This one and the ones to come. So there's more than what's going on here, isn't there? This lie of some people saying, well, you just die and that's oblivion, that's the end of it. Mm-mm. He says in this age and the one to come. Huh? Hebrews 11. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11, the last chapter. They can't be complete without us. Okay? Verse 22. And has put all, cross the word things out because it's not there, hath put all under his feet or under his lifestyle. Okay? That means he has elevated himself above the rest of the world. That make sense? His life, his walk is above our walk. Doesn't the book say his mind's above our mind, his ways is above our ways? So he's walking in a higher realm than what we are in the natural, right? And he did what? It says, and gave him, and gave to him the head of the church, the headship of the church, over, you know, the headship over all. He said, headship over all. And then it says the words. Verse 23, I want to start to read, or I can read 22, that's part of it. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, 22 there. Verse 23 says, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he has said all things are put under him, it is manifest or apparent that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued to him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that has put all things under him, that God may be what? There's your all in all. There's the one that's all in all. Oh, my goodness. Woo! You ain't excited? I'll be excited for you. Man, it's good stuff.